In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, when I was young and in grade school, I was the class clown. I know that comes as a big shock to everybody here. But, you know, I was the guy who liked to sit. I never really sat in the back. I kind of usually got in the middle. And, I was the one who'd often would get in trouble for talking to the person next to me. Or, you know, I'd like to blurt out comments and, you know, in the middle of class and make everybody laugh. So this was kind of my role. And I remember one day in the third grade, someone stole my thunder. We were sitting in class, and there was this girl sitting next to me. I actually remember who she was, still even remember her today. And the teacher is going over idioms. And the teacher says, people who live in glass houses should not what? You guys are good. The girl next to me, before anybody could say anything, says, go to the bathroom. That was my job. But of course, as all of you seem to know, the answer is, of course, throw rocks, throw stones. Well, this is one of those idioms, an expression that we use to talk about hypocrisy. We have a number of them in the English language. We might say, that's the pot calling the kettle black, or when you have one finger pointed this way, remember that there are three fingers pointed back. These kinds of expressions are common in our popular mindset, and they point to our own need to see our own failings before looking at the failings of others. It's kind of a reminder that our candle won't burn brighter if we blow out someone else's. Well, today's gospel is full of disconcerting sayings. Jesus starts off and he dives right into the deep end. And he says, I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. The problem is that anger is something that is undeniable to just about every person who has ever lived. All right, on a show of hands here, who here has never been angry in your life? Crickets chirping, not seeing anyone. Well, there we go. Anger is a normal part of life. It's a natural emotion. You know, sometimes anger is even a good thing. There's a such thing as righteous anger. It can be a motivation when you're discontent to do something and better your world. I'm reminded that even Jesus experienced anger. Remember how he called out the Pharisees and he said, you hypocrites? And who could forget that infamous scene right before the crucifixion where Jesus goes in the temple and flips over the tables of the money changers? I mean, how angry do you have to be to do that? So anger is completely a normal, natural part of our lives. And while Jesus says this, at the same time, he calls us to reconciliation. He says these words that I like to use as an offertory sentence during Lent. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and sister, and then come and offer your gift. I suppose this is why we pass the peace before taking up the collection. But you know, this is a really important point because it sets the stage for everything else that Jesus is going to say. And Jesus will address in this passage. talking about the need to look at our own selves and talking about the need for reconciliation. Jesus then goes on to say another thing that's somewhat disconcerting. He says, I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now, I imagine there's probably not a single human being alive, past adolescence at least, who has not been guilty of looking longingly at an attractive person at least once. That is assuming your eyesight is all well and good. But, you know, like anger, this is part of our human nature. I mean, biologists have talked about how this is encoded in our DNA, the idea of attractive, what attracts us to other people. And so it's kind of one of those things that's just impossible to get around. And Jesus' response to this is quite shocking. He says, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out, throw it away. It's better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, chop it off, throw it away. It's better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. Now, I'm just going to point out something here. You know those people that say that they are biblical literalists? You know, and they take every word of the Bible literally. This might be a good verse to point out to them. Because I don't see in even the most pious and holy places people walking around with one hand and one eye, do you? No, no. We don't even have accounts of the disciples or the great saints of the church doing such things, because people understand something when they read this phrase. And this kind of thing should apply to much of this passage. That this is Jesus employing the use of hyperbole. That is, that Jesus is exaggerating to drive home a point. I suspect Jesus is dealing with two things here. The first thing is, I would guess that he's directly addressing some particular situations of his day. Likely that there are people who are trying to look pious, following the law to the letter in things like giving and sexual purity, but still, in their hearts, they're accusing others in uncharitable ways and undercutting their own ability in their own relationship with God. And the second and more important point, and the one that applies to all times, is that Jesus is broadly pointing out that we all have sin. You know, the fact is, there are people in this world who have committed great and grave sins. And those people are all of us. And what we should not do is try to deflect our own guilt by pointing toward the guilt of others, because that too undercuts our own relationship with God. St. Paul says in the first letter to the Corinthians, I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now you are still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations? For one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos. Are you not merely human? If we are looking at life as a system of black and white regulations and then trying to entrap others in them, then we are still taking spiritual milk. Milk, of course, is nutritive to babies, but it lacks the complexity that adults need. It lacks the vitamins and the fiber and the solidity that those of us who are beyond the age of, say, 2 or 3 really need to survive. And spiritual milk is looking at things in simplistic terms without understanding the complexity and depth that is behind them. And as St. Paul points out, this leads to pettiness, divisiveness, and hypocrisy. But when we understand that life is complex and that all fall into sin and none of us can really be better than others, it's then that we find that we are all utterly dependent upon God's grace. And that is when we are getting into the spiritual solid food. This is at the heart of Jesus' teaching today. Many would try to suggest that Jesus is giving us stricter, more rigid rules to follow. You can't do this, you can't do this now, but that's not at all what he's doing. What Jesus is doing here is he is trying to teach us that life is one big, confusing mess. And all of us do things we should not do. And all of us are in it together. And all of us need God's grace. Amen.